Good morning, Rabbi Utai. Welcome to Breakfast in the Class. Breakfast in the Class today is dedicated in loving memory of Naftali Gad, alav shalom, le nishmat Naftali ben Leah, v'nisan Gad, alav shalom from his amazing wife, Shifra Gad, Adina v'esrim, his son Michael and Joe Gad, and daughters Lily Shai and Peggy Dahan. Breakfast in the Class is dedicated in honor of Rabbi Shlomo Farhi. Wow. On the siyum of Gemara Ta'anit. Thank you for your Torah, your time, your wisdom, and your consistency by your Talmidim. Rabbi Utai, just again a shout out. We're making our siyum tonight in reserve cut. From Masechet Ta'anit, okay? We want to celebrate the fact that we did this the right way, in the best place, Ya'ani. Hashem should bless us to finish many Masechtot. We want to encourage everyone that's listening to join in on the learning Torah train. We're going to continue a new Masechet starting this Sunday, Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday evenings at 6:15 p.m. If you'd like to join, please leave us a message and we'll give you all the details of our new Masechet that will be starting on Sunday. If you'd like to come to the Siyum because you're planning on starting the new Masechet, you're more than welcome to join us tonight. Again, message us for details. The week of Kol Brew is dedicated in honor of Linda Towel by her grandchildren. As well, the week of, and as well by David Yash in honor of you and your substantial capacity to do good today and every day. Breakfast in the Class is dedicated in honor of Alan Light, Amnon Ben Yisrael Vechana by his daughter and son-in-law Daniel and Rafi Hasbani. In loving memory of Mrs. Lily Safra Lunishmat Lea Batchana, her philanthropy has reached so many throughout the entire world. And by the CapacityForGood.com crew, in trying to get everybody, wearing sweatshirts and t-shirts with all the merch so that we can sponsor the incredible activities that we are doing in the Safra Synagogue and in Chazak. By the way, my parents sat down on a plane journey next to this guy, Hasidish guy, and he says, "Are you Rabbi Farhi?" He says, "Yes." And my father says, "How do you know me? Hasidish guy, where do you know me from?" He says, "Well, I don't know you, but I follow your son's breakfast in the class. And I remember that you once were in the class and you gave the class with him. You gave one yesterday with me, but the last one was a long time ago." So he recognized my father from that day. And he wound up telling my mother, "You should just know that he also is the proud owner of a Capacity for Good sweatshirt as well." Not sure how much use you get out of that in the Hasidish community. Okay, let us begin, Rabotai. The Pasuk tells us something unbelievable. Well, it was not on yours. Not on yours, Sammy. Not on yours. Vayomer Elokim. And Elokim said, Hashem said to Moshe, Ehye asher ehye. I will be that which I will be. Vayomer kol tedaber b'nei Yisrael, Ehye shelachan alechem. So you should say to the Jewish people, Ehye sent me to you. Now, This comment by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu is in response to something that Moshe Rabbeinu asked. Moshe said to God, "Listen, you want me to take the Jewish people out of Egypt? You're going to tell me, you want me to tell them that God sent you? No problem." Moshe said to Hashem, "Ve'amru li," the people will say, "Mashemo," what is the name of this God that you purport to be reporting to, that you're speaking on his behalf? What should I say to them? And Elohim said to Moshe, "Ehyeh asher ehyeh." Now, my friends, there's something here that's got to bother anybody who's listening. Okay? Anyone who's watching, anyone who's reading the Pasuk. But the Jewish people don't know who Hashem is? Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, that meant nothing? All the Shvatim, they never met Hashem? What do you mean? He's a Jewish guy, he's wearing a kippah, right? How did Yosef convince the brothers that he was Jewish? He showed them they had a Brit Milah. He didn't have a special name from Hashem to tell them that he was also a Jew. They knew who Hashem was. They'd been serving God since the time of Abraham Avinu. So what was it that Moshe was actually worried about, that they might ask me what your name is? And Hashem has to come up with a new name that's never been used before in the Torah, right? Tell him that this is my name. If anything, if you're thinking, that's the worst thing Moshe Rabbeinu could have said. If you want the people to believe you, which name of God should you use? A name of that God that you've never used before, or a name of Hashem that they all recognize? Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? Elohim, etc., etc. Those are names of God that we find. Kel Shakai, Nirai Elai Beluz, right? We found by Yaakov Avinu. What is this? What's going on over here? Who was Moshe's question? Who was Hashem's answer? And you'll notice as well that there seems to be a discrepancy in what Hashem first tells Moshe and what Hashem secondly tells Moshe. The first thing he says, Hashem says, Moshe says, what should I say to them? Right? What does Hashem say? Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh. So what should he tell them? One would imagine that sentence. Then Hashem says, no, you know what you should say? Yomer. And he said, Ko tomar lebnei Israel. So you should say, Eheyeh Shelachani Alechem. Rashi records the interpretation of this second interaction. He says, tell them, I will be Asher, I will be. I will be that which I will be. What was he saying? Hashem was saying, I will be with them in this galut. Asher, I will be with them in the future galuyot when they are enslaved by other kings. Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know, dachilak. I mean, I'm sure Moshe spoke, you know, Halabi, Arabic, because that's how everyone imagines him, right? For Hasidim, for Ashkenaz people, Moshe speaks Yiddish. For us, you know, if you come from Spain, Moshe speaks Ladino. Right? That's how it works, okay? You imagine what Moshe Rabbeinu would have said. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Hashem, dachilak. Please. You want me to talk to them now in Galut about the fact that you're going to be with them in their next Galut? Dayat tzara b'sha'ata. You know, it's enough to the suffering that I've got now. Could you imagine, by the way, you tell a guy in therapy, the guy's life, his life is falling apart. Look, you're going to be fine. And you're also going to be fine when your wife leaves you. Don't worry. And you're also going to be fine. I can see the writings on the wall. Your business is about to go bankrupt. You'll be fine for all things. That's not a good therapist. What is Hashem saying? Hashem says, you know what? You're right, 100%. You know what you should tell them? Eheyeh Shelachani Alechem. Hashem omits the second version of the name. Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh. Hashem omits it. Why? Because Moshe is right. Dayat tzara b'sha'ata. Now, you ever have to ask yourself a question? Anytime you find HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, changing his mind, quote unquote, right? A little bit of a problem, philosophically. Because obviously Hashem is above time. Hashem sees everything. Hashem knows everything. Moshe thought of something Hashem didn't think of. Like Moshe understood the psychology of human beings better than Hashem. Is that what's going on here? Doesn't make sense. And then Hashem agrees with him. What's going on over here? The answer, I think, there's many answers to this question. But I think if we pull the camera out, we'll start to learn something here that I think is very beautiful. You know, Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu a great question. He says, you want me to go to the Jews and tell them that I'm the emissary of you, and that you're about to take them out. He says, you know what the Jews are going to tell me? What are you talking about? God himself came to Abraham and told them that they're going to be in Mitzrayim, they're going to be in the land that's not theirs, whichever land that is, for 400 years. Right? How many years has it been? 210. We're missing 190 years. So it's wonderful that you're coming now, but you've got to be the first false Messiah because your timing is off almost by half. Now, don't get me wrong. Jews love 50% off. But, you know, they're not sure. Like, how would they even think that this is the right, that he's the right person? Moshe Rabbeinu was asking if they know what you said to them, if God himself said something, and then someone claiming to be, you know, working for God comes. What do you say? I actually just spoke to your boss. And your boss told me something else. That's Moshe's question. They're going to ask me, what is the name of this God? They're not going to believe me because it's wrong. They're going to ask me if I'm, you know, supporting, if I'm repping another God from some other religion. My friends, HaKadosh Baruch Hu explained to Moshe, he said that my name is this name, Eheyeh Asher Eheyeh. The Chachamim explained that this first name, Eheyeh, versus Asher Eheyeh, is 21. The numerical value of each of that name is 21. Asher, again, that same name, is 21 times 21. I am 21, Asher 21. 21 times 21 is exactly the numerical value of 441, which is the gematria of the word emet. God said, go back to the Jewish people and explain to them that my name is emet, my seal is emet. I'm a person, I'm a being, God forbid, not a person. I'm a being who makes promises. I'm a being that gives berachot. But ultimately, the seal, what decides a person's fate, positively, negatively, is going to be emet, what the right thing is. And if you have a person who was supposed to get a beracha, but then loses out, what's that? What happens to that person? They did. They became a rasha. They lose the beracha. Who do we know this from? Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu says, "Katonti mikol hachasadim u'mikol haemet." U'mikol haemet. Maybe Hashem promised me that He's going to bring me back safely to my father's house. But you know what? Maybe I used up my merits. Maybe I used up all my zichuyot. Maybe I have nothing left. Maybe now I'm not going to get that blessing. You know why? Mikol haemet. Because now I don't really deserve it. Who would understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's character trait of emet, of the right thing? I promised you it, but that was when you were somebody else. Now you're this other person who's not living up to the standard of what you once were. Do you deserve it now? Yaakov, whose midah was the midah of emet, was able to understand that more than anybody else. So God says to Moshe, explain to them. Now the word eheyeh, it's so interesting, because it represents I will be, indicating that with Borei Olam, even if he said something, even if he promised something, even if the gezerah that Hashem says this person is going to die at half of their days, the person does teshuvah, what does the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Eheyeh illustrate? That even if I said that the guy's going to die at 50, but he did teshuvah, he's a new person. Is it fair to carry out that punishment to a person who did teshuvah? Of course not. So God says, you know, it's true. I said 400 years. But that was in a situation where you were being worked in a normal way. But the way the Egyptians are working you, they're working you double time. It can't be that they're working you double as hard as they should and you're going to stay there for the same amount of time. I am nothing, says Hashem, if not emet. I'm nothing if not truth. So therefore, you're going to lose it. The Chachamim say that that's what he was hinting to them. Tell them, Pakod Yifkod Hashem. Tell them that Hashem is going to take them out. The word Pekod, Seder Mefarshim, is a numerical value. Pei, Kuf, Vav, Dalet, of exactly how much? 190. God says Pakod. The word Pakod can mean V'ishlo Nifkad. Could mean that someone was taken away. Hashem says, Pakod Pakadati. I've taken away 190 from you. You know why? Because the Egyptians mistreated you. It was much harsher, this slavery. I never said anything about the way that they're treating you. I never said anything about how much, how hard they're making you work, about the fact that they're murdering children. I never said anything about Paro killing 150 babies in the morning, 150 babies in the evening, bathing in the blood to solve his leprosy skin condition. I never said anything about that. So if that's the case, my friends, I'm emet. Tell the Jews that I'm emet. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I hear what you're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But daya litzara bisha'ata. I get it. And I understand that you're telling them that this idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be with a person no matter what, in that space, in that time, ba'asher husham, I get it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the people, they're not holding. They're not there. They're suffering. And you know something? Even if midat ha'emet makes you say to them that there's going to be future galuyot, that they should not think that when they get out here, they're going to be getting out forever. And that comes from your midah of emet. Moshe Rabbeinu says, But daya etzara b'sha'ata. If they hear that now, then maybe they'll lose faith. What was Moshe Rabbeinu saying? He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to that ta'ana, maybe the Jewish people will lose their level of emunah. And now that you promise them through the midah of emet that you're going to be them for them now, you'll have to readjust again. Why will you readjust again? Because now their level of emunah, the depression about the fact that there's going to be another galut sets in. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like by Yaakov Avinu, the midat ha'emet, he tried to tell his children when Mashiach was going to come, and what did you do? You took your Shekhinah away, so you shouldn't tell them. Why? So they shouldn't give up hope that there's going to be long galuyot until Mashiach comes. Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm using that same idea here with you as well. Because I know that if you say this, you'll redeem them. But if they then sink because of this, we're going to have this conversation again, and then you're not going to redeem them now. Because their level of emunah will have shrunk. Your midat ha'emet will then have to recalibrate again and decide to change to save them soon. And that will cost them the level of emunah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees with Moshe. He says, you're right, I would have to recalibrate. So therefore, say to them instead, Eheye shelachani alechem. My friends, what I'm trying to communicate to this, with this idea, to everybody that will listen to this, is not a message about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's names. That's not the message. Even though the Jewish people knew Hashem's name, but they did not know this nature of God, this interaction of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this midah. In fact, all the names of God, what do they describe? Our rabbis tell us it does not describe Hashem's essence. That's impossible for a person to understand. They describe an interaction, a style of interaction with the world. One way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's interacting with the world is through chesed. One way through rahamim. One way through din. One way through givurah. Each element is a different style of interaction with the world, a midah, based on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision how to interact with us. So God is telling Moshe saying to Hashem, they're not going to believe me. You said 400. Hashem says, don't worry. Explain to them that one of my character traits is this character trait of emet that resets itself based on where I am. My friends, I'm not in Egypt, at least not until Seder night. My problem is not figuring out what Hashem's name is. I'm not Moshe, I don't need to convince you that Hashem sent me to save you from Egypt. But the reason why I think this is so important is because this message was not just a message from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe to remove a Jew from Egypt. But it was a message to a Jew who lives in any sort of mitzarim. Min ha-metzar karati ya, anani b'mer havya. Hashem, I'm tight, I'm trapped. Answer me, open up my trapped, my open up my prison, open up my that which is restricting me. Mina metzar, any person that's stuck, that's having a problem. Now, if you're a person who believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if you're listening to this class, I'm sure you are, otherwise wrong religion. But if you're a person that believes in God, you know that every tzara, every difficulty that you have, who does it come from? There's no one but Him. Your boss doesn't exist. The stock market doesn't exist. Bitcoin doesn't exist. I spoke to this guy the other day. He says to me, I made a joke. I said, you know, now everyone who used to be in Bitcoin until Bitcoin, you know, is on the, you know, table getting cardiac arrest, you know, whatever. What are they doing now? What are they investing in now? They're investing in the new commodity, eggs. Eggs are through the roof, Bitcoin's in the toilet, okay, fine. So I said, you know, now I'm investing in eggs. So some guy goes, oh, Rabbi, you invested in Bitcoin? I told him, no, it was just a joke. I never invested one penny in Bitcoin. He goes, oh, I invest in Bitcoin full time. I was like, I'm so sorry. He says, actually, no. He says, I'm doing very well. He says, if you knew where to shift and how to shift. Now, every guy thinks that they know. Every guy is, in Arabic, we say, ibn Chacham, right? Right? He's too smart, smarter than everybody. He knows and he understands and he's never going to get stung. Everybody thinks that. Hashem should protect. Shomer petayim Hashem. Okay? But the point, my friends, is, right, there's some people in the downturn, in the Bitcoin downturn, what happened? They made money. So it's not Bitcoin that costs you your money. Because there's another guy sitting right next to you that's also invested in Bitcoin that got out of FTX and got into the other one and he made money. Okay? It's not the market. It's not the boss. It's not taxes. It's not the Democrats. Everything is him. Only him. Min ha-metzar karati ya. Anani ba-mechavya. The pasuk is telling you, not just from a difficult place that I call out to God, but min ha-metzar, I saw, I called God. What did I call him? I looked at my difficulty and I called it God. And the minute I'm capable of doing that, anani b'merchav ka, I'm able to then be answered, be responded to, and recognize that the space that I now have, the salary that I now have, the kid that got into school, the relationship that worked out, the shalom bayit problem that was solved, all those things, I was able to point to the solution and say, that's also the same yud followed by hey. You understand that? So God speaks to every Jew throughout all time. And he says to you, you don't see me, don't worry. I'm still here. It didn't happen for you yet. Don't throw in the towel. Because your troubles were also me. And you'll still see, I will be. Even if you don't feel that I am, I will be. Moshe Rabbeinu communicates that concept to every person that suffers. So what's a person to do if they're stuck? And you know what the answer is? Remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his midah is emet. And therefore, if there's a gezerah on you, if you feel stuck no matter where you go, I always love that terminology from the pasuk, min hametzar. You know why? Because it doesn't say Kazakhs, and it doesn't say Nazis, and it doesn't say, terrorists. It doesn't describe what the mitzar is. Why? Because the person's got the message and he understands that the mitzar doesn't have a name. It is God, okay? Now, when a person is stuck in that situation and they don't know what to do and they don't feel like they have any room, there's a noose around their neck, what are they supposed to do? Remember, Hashem will be. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if that gezerah was on you and it feels no matter which way you turn, everything goes sour, that should not tell you God's not with you. That should tell you that in an extraordinary way, nothing's working. That too is a miracle. We don't usually call those things miracles. Miracles are when you got off the plane that blew up. But my friends, a miracle is also when you got on the plane that blew up, that you weren't supposed to be on. I mean, they don't make really nice little videos from those stories. They don't sell those stories and write them into the Hamodia. But a miracle means where something that shouldn't have happened, happened. That's what miraculous means. Hashem is telling you, I will be. Trust me. You know my emet. You know that about me. So what do you need to do? Number one, first piece of advice. Min ha-metzar karatika. Call your problems by God's name. Second piece of advice, stop trying to change the problem if the problem is not the problem, if the problem is God, and start trying to change yourself. Because the midah of emet recalibrates. This person, the language of Rambam on this is gold. The Gemara tells us that there's a couple of things that change a person's capacity to reach a gezerah. And one of them is Shinui Hashem. And Rambam says about this idea, Shinui Hashem, changing a name, he says, Eneni Oto Adam, in the laws of Teshuvah. Hashem, this person, he was supposed to die, but I'm not this person anymore. That's not me. That guy didn't put tefillin on every day. This guy puts tefillin on every day. That guy didn't keep kosher. This guy keeps kosher, or at least he's trying to. That guy didn't look prepared, careful, was careful with what he looked at. This guy, I'm careful. I walk around in, in Times Square with a seeing eye dog, because you can't lift your eyes. That's not me. I'm someone else. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, indeed you are. You are someone else. That gezerah, it should not, it does not, it will not apply to you. May Hashem bless us to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu in every situation and help us adjust ourselves so that we adjust our situations. May Hashem bless us with the emunah to be able to remember that even if it feels like He is not, still He will be. And the Yeshuat Hashem, the salvation of God, comes keheref ayin, in the blink of an eye. Baruch Adonai Le'olam.